Yo.
Tracks of Life.
We're here.
We're here.
Where are we?
We're doing it different. We're on location.
Yeah, we are, bro.
I feel so important saying that.
You know what? You look important saying it.
Thank you. We're on location.
On location. Yeah. Coming to you live.
I started to use finger quotes, but we really are on location.
Yeah, we are, man.
We're at rehearsals for my upcoming tour.
Excited, man.
Opening for the Jonas Brothers.
This is big, baby.
Yeah. I'm leaving and never coming back.
Hey, I'm going to see you, though, at some point.
Yeah. If they'll keep me on the road, I'll stay forever.
He probably is going to leave me tickets, everybody. I'll report back to you guys, and I'll let you know.
It'll be like Talladega Nights. Poor guy. He leaves two tickets for this guy, Fabian.
He never comes.
Never shows.
Oh, man.
Who's the guest today?
Got my boy. Jordan McGraw. No, man, we wanted to take you, you know, we're deep in now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we both came up with this idea, like, I don't know if everybody knows so much about us, man. We gave you a little preview.
Plus, I've been a little jealous. All the guests get to share their stories and we haven't done it yet.
Yeah, so, man.
I sat down and I realized how hard what we ask people to do is.
Yeah, right?
I'm like sitting there looking at a list of songs and I'm like, shit.
And I called him and I was like, yo, he got you ready? He's like, dude, it's a lot harder than I thought.
Yeah, I know. It really is. So I figured I would give it like a theme.
Okay.
Since we're on location.
Uh-huh. Which we are.
For rehearsals.
For your tour. Yeah.
I figured I'd do the songs that kind of led me to being a musician.
Put you in this seat that you're in right now to talk about it.
Yeah, because otherwise my playlist is going to be 400 songs long.
Yeah.
It still might be.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But
we got our flight playlist.
Yeah, it started once a long time ago on October 21st.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
No. No, but so I'm the only musically talented person in my family. Like, nobody can clap on beat. I think, like, maybe my mom can and she just doesn't tell anybody.
Right. She don't want to make your dad feel bad.
Yeah, my dad can barely play the radio. My brother, like at basketball games, when everybody's like clapping to the...
He's off beat?
He's got to look at somebody and try and clap with them.
He's one of those guys that claps on the one and the three.
Yeah, exactly. But like an eighth note behind the beat because he's watching somebody else do it. And he picked the
and
one guy.
And trying not to spill his beer, right?
Yeah, exactly. But still, even though nobody had musical talent, music was always on in the house. And so...
part of your life, obviously.
Yeah, all the time. Like it, just like happy moments, sad moments, just like throughout the day, the Kenny G Christmas album playing nonstop.
Fire.
Christmas time. Yeah, exactly.
Did it start, yo, let me ask you, in your house, did the Christmas stuff, did it start like Thanksgiving or did your mom do like a December 1st start?
No, it would start like Thanksgiving, but then day after Christmas, all gone.
Done, like dry, out of there. All right.
Yeah. Okay. And then we'd drive around making fun of the people who still had the Christmas lights up.
Your mom does it big though. I see she had a gingerbread. Oh, yeah. Who does a gingerbread house of life size in their, I mean, who's got a house to do that in? But second of all, who does that, man? That's wild.
She has London and Avery.
Yeah.
My niece and nephew. And like, the word grandkids like means 1,000 times to her.
Yeah, for sure.
To her than anybody, I think, because she literally...
She does it big.
She built them a real life-size gingerbread house.
Yeah, amazing.
In the entryway
you
of
guys
house.
Probably saw it on Instagram. It's around. Google it. It was unbelievable.
They still have ants.
Yeah.
no, but... So music was always around, and anytime my dad would take me to school, we would play like two songs on loop.
Mm-hmm.
It was Whole Lotta Love by Led Zeppelin.
Yep.
And we would make up our own rule or our own words. Yeah, because I was so young. I used to think he was like, he said, I need Kool-Aid. afraid. Baby, I'm not fooling. I thought it made sense to me.
And you were rocking out, dude.
I loved Kool-Aid. I still do. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was more of a Slim Jim.
Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were the same person.
It's all right. They were.
And then Jan and Dean, Dead Man's Curve.
It was so good.
And we would listen to those two songs on repeat because
kind of morbid.
You go two different specials.
Like I want a whole lot of love.
Yeah,
and the guy died. Like that's they claimed another life at Dead Man's Curve.
I didn't know what it meant.
Yeah,
I was just like, oh, that's a funny street name.
Yeah, Dead Man's Curve, and it had some sound effects of the song too.
Yeah,
the car racing thing. Yeah.
Dead Man's Curve.
Yeah. How do you think they recorded that back then? They probably pulled. There's no sound effects. They pulled the car in the studio.
Yeah, or like daisy chained a bunch of cables together.
Fire.
Yeah,
fire.
So those two songs like kind of. They like opened up my mind to like to music being something you could kind of be like obsessed about.
Yeah.
And something that like it made a connection for me and my dad because like when my mom would take me to school, we wouldn't listen to those two songs.
Did you, was it more silence? Was she like talking about the day or is it, did she have her own?
No, we would like, we would just kind of like click through.
All right.
You know, but like.
But you and your dad had them two songs.
Yeah, it was like our thing that when we got in the car. It would just like do down, do down, down, down. The garage door would open slow, and we'd pull out the back, and we'd
then
just
you
like,
stop, put your seatbelts on.
In my mind, we were like, we looked, we had like sunglasses on, and like, but in reality, I was bitching about not wanting to go to school.
Right.
He was like holding a piece of toast in one hand and spilling honey all over the car, and I was just like, you wonder why your steering wheel's
right,
sticky.
Exactly.
But to me, we had like sunglasses on.
Sure.
You know,
those like, are the times, man.
Yeah, with three-piece suits, white linen.
Yeah,
you know, not the case.
No,
we were in Dallas, Texas.
It was humid.
Yeah, it was not cool. Yeah, but so after that, that's like a short story.
Yeah,
this is just like the you know
get us warmed up. And,
yeah, you know.
But when you hear those songs, still, do you fix this in the back of the car?
I still say I need Kool-Aid.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love it.
I don't care. Well, I don't care. It's wrong. It's not wrong to me. Yeah. Yeah, but then we went to my first concert. Like,
okay,
well, my real first concert was the Righteous Brothers.
Oh, dang, dude!
Yeah, in Vegas, and I fell asleep.
Disrespect.
I fell asleep before they started.
That's such disrespect.
So I don't count that one. But my mom really wanted to go to Celine Dion.
Mm.
So my first concert was Celine Dion.
Okay,
and the reason that that's important to me, because I'm not like the biggest Celine Dion fan.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can't
respect her.
You can't argue that she's not an amazing singer.
Obviously, yeah.
She is an amazing singer. But it was the first time that I saw like grandeur on stage. Uh-huh. Just like this
a big
giant
production.
Arena.
Like production
you know?
Goals.
Yeah, exactly. Production goals. This giant arena in this like, this, you know, like big white curtain instead of the normal curtain that you see on TV.
And it's flowing and it's like,
just flowing and it just dropped. Everything's white and bright and like, I somehow knew every word to Celine Dion.
You
asked what my mom would play on the way to school. It was
there
Celine
it is,
Dion.
Now you know.
Exactly. And so I remember like, my brother made me dance with him because he was like, he just like saw my jaw drop. You know? And he's like, all right, he did the big brother thing.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to make this an experience.
Sure.
And so we were like standing up the entire time dancing. This fucking asshole behind us, he kept going like, hey, sit down. And my brother leans over and the guy goes, I can't see through you. And my brother whispered in my ear and I turn around and I go, try harder. So I was the rebel.
How old are you right now? What are we talking, like 10?
I don't even know. It was for the...
Your brother was obviously a teenager.
It was the It's All Coming Back to Me, that whatever that song, whatever that album that was. The big. It was all white, hence the white stage.
Yeah.
And very Canadian. What was it? 1996.
All right,
it was
so
96. I was 10.
And your brother's what, like 18?
17. Yeah. Encouraging me to talk shit at a concert. Mm-hmm. You know,
he's like,
Celine Dion concert of all
right.
things. It was some guy in like an ascot with a glass of white wine.
Like, you don't picture a bunch of tough guys at a Celine Dion concert. You're probably safe, you know?
No, but he was being a dick. Guy, if you're listening, chill.
Yeah, come on, dude. Not cool, bro.
Exactly.
We know it's been 20 years, but not cool.
Celine likes to party.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I mean? Like,
obviously.
Chill out.
Yeah. She was in Vegas for a while. Like, come
on. You think she didn't go to Tao or Dre's?
Jeez.
She's the reason they keep that thing open 24 hours
real,
a day.
Yeah, for real. So, all right. You're there with your mom and your brother.
Yeah, well, my brother and I had separate seats because we were cool.
So you know, would your mom go with a friend? Or
no,
or?
No. My parents were down in the front.
Oh, okay. Your parents. Okay, it wasn't just your mom and you guys.
Yeah, they made it seem like, oh, you guys get cool seats, whatever. Right. In hindsight.
Yeah.
Those dicks bought nicer tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eh, well.
They stuck us up in the second level on the side of the stage. You can't see half of it.
Here's some money for snacks.
Yeah, good thing Celine's tall.
Right.
Jeez. My brother had to hold me up to see. It looked like the Titanic scene, but
really nice.
Yeah, that
real
was a, nice, that was Dr. a, Phil. I was reaching for a Titanic joke.
Got nothing.
No, I don't even think that song was out. When did Titanic come out?
After that. No, it was after around that.
It must have been after that.
We're just all off at our dates today.
I know, whatever. But the concert that really did it for me with the like live performance is my parents took me to see Tina Turner. And it was just like, if you haven't seen Tina Turner, I mean, she's what, like 70 something now?
Still fine.
Yeah. And still like dances her ass off. It's crazy.
Just those legs, man. You can't, those legs are unbelievable.
I know. They're insured for like $1 million
gotta
each
be.
Or something
gotta
like that.
Gotta be crazy. Yeah.
I want some body part insured for $1 million.
Hey, bro, go with your toe.
Yeah, I won't say which.
I mean, sorry out there, folks.
Yeah, exactly. We get so many comments about us swearing.
Yeah, you know what? We don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
you
know. I know. What I'm saying? If you don't like us swearing, kindly fuck off.
Yeah, but
respectfully,
anyway, yeah,
fuck off.
Well, and with a ph.
Yeah,
you know what? With a ph.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Picture every time we say fuck, we're actually saying it with a ph.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
It's like, you know, it's more refined.
That's slang for heckin'.
Exactly. So moving on.
Yeah, we should. Should do like a censored version where we just replace it with like words that sound kind of vulgar but aren't vulgar, like
potato.
Yeah, potato. Every word I'm thinking of is dirty.
Yeah, no, that's a problem.
It's like just anatomical things that just still are just kind of frenulum.
Uh-huh. Frenulum.
Don't look it up.
Yeah.
I mean,
sounds cool.
It's a real word.
All right. Anyways, back to the concert.
Yeah, back to Tina Turner.
So Tina, man.
She still had the like really buff, shirtless, oiled up saxophone player running around, which was like, it was weird, but at the same time, like people loved it. You know,
and
it was
saxophone,
like,
dude.
She was dancing. She never stopped. That's like, she's like the number one inspiration for me for performing.
Because you're looking at her that just.
She just never stops moving, never misses a note, is never not having fun. And
you're
then
like,
that makes everybody on stage have fun.
Right.
And then once they're having fun, you like.
It goes out to the audience.
You can't go to a Tina Turner concert and not have fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's absolutely impossible.
When you get tired on stage, you're like, what would Tina do?
Yeah, what would Tina do? WWTD. I just keep a picture. I have a picture taped on the back of my guitar of Tina. And anytime I'm tired, I just look at her.
Exactly. Like, and I just keep going.
Yeah. It's a hologram, so when I turn it, her legs move.
So what's your favorite Tina song? I know you're a huge fan, but if you had to pick like one, what are we talking about?
Well, my favorite, I don't know what my favorite would be, but she opened the concert was simply the best.
Okay, yeah.
And it's just like, it just hits hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're simply the best. Yeah.
And everybody's going crazy, right?
Yeah, it's just amazing. And then, but I mean, my favorite is probably Look Me in the Heart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge Tina fan.
Okay, yeah, yeah, for sure, man.
Like, it carried over.
Uh-huh. We took a trip to London for your birthday.
For my birthday.
For a show.
Yeah, just to see the Tina Turner musical. Man. They tell you not to sing along to the songs.
Yeah. What was that about? Like, creep it down in the audience. We're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, literally the entire audience goes, oh.
Not us.
And then
we were like,
one
whatever.
Song went by and nobody sang. And then the second one went by and everybody was like, well,
third, everybody's up on their
song. Was, yeah, like dancing, doing the hair flips.
Maybe they were trolling us. Maybe they just were expecting. They probably have fun watching us try
exactly.
not to sing.
Oh, yeah, I sang.
Yeah, you.
You're not gonna make me not sing.
No,
Tina,
you sang. You know sang, I mean? Bro. You were there.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll ever have like another Tina Turner. Do we have? I guess Beyonce could be it.
Beyonce, I think so for sure, man. She's got the performance.
She just doesn't compare.
Well, you know, it's hard. You know, it's you can't compare the two. It's different. Like, you can't say the next when it comes to that caliber, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like next Michael Jackson. There's no next
there's no
Michael
such
Jackson.
Thing, man. So the Beyonce
no
is Beyonce.
Queen.
Yeah.
And Tina's Adam Tina. Lambert kills it.
Yeah.
But he says, I'm no Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, nobody can
Who
be,
is?
Man. Yeah, 100%, man. Dang.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to skip ahead a little bit.
Come
because
on,
it's another. This is another live concert. Because this is the one going
We're
to concerts,
in concert town right now.
Going
to
concerts as a kid was like when I look back and like explain to myself why performing is so important to me. It's it's all the concerts that I went to as a kid.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, there's nothing cooler than making people have fun.
Sure.
You know, and the people that did it the best are just like, I'm like lucky that I got to see them. Because like Tina Turner, nobody is grumpy at a Tina Turner concert.
Right. You're a total jerk.
You know what I mean?
You
I've had people grumpy at my concerts, but like I take that and go, well, what is it then?
Right.
Because you don't have to love the music to have fun.
No, the music.
Which maybe that's lost good music, on people now, though.
I think so, too. Everybody's looking at their phone, filming
it. Or being cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a shirtless man, oiled up, running around playing saxophone.
Yeah. Like, how could you not have fun, dude?
Yeah. That guy's having fun.
Yeah, man.
And he's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get grumpy at concerts. I get grumpy at the kids, like...
Eddie liked that one.
I get grumpy with people, like, you know... on their phone. It drives me nuts, man. I'm like, we're all here.
I like the thing where they steal your phone and put it in those pouches. Cool. I don't know if it's like, it's a little annoying. Uh-huh. I wish people would just like kind of enjoy it.
In the moment.
But I'm totally guilty of it too.
Oh, no. Listen, I'll catch a song.
Yeah.
Like one or two, but I'm not doing the whole concert on video. Like,
also, like, when's the last time you watched a video you took at a concert?
It's like watching fireworks on your phone, the 4th of July.
Exactly.
It looks horrible. Dude.
I know.
First of all, the concert sounds horrible in your phone.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to sound good. I've tried every trick. You put your finger over the mic.
No.
There's nothing that works, man.
Yeah, you could buy the fancy microphone you connect to. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. None of that works. So
you might as well be there and enjoy it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What?
I'm also the guy that crosses my arms at concerts sometimes, and it's like people like, "Well, you're no fun at a concert. What are you talking about?"
I'm like, taking
no.
It all in.
I'm like watching.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? That I don't mind, but
I think the pass that I give people for recording everything, it's like, all right, this is their one time to see this person.
Yeah, I guess.
You know what I mean? So you got it. When I think of it that way, I kind of feel like a jerk getting so mad at them.
To me, I guess it's just when people spend the entire concert on their phone. It's like, I don't know that. It's the equivalent of like. I was in Saint-Tropez, and this dude's walking around. It's a small city.
Yeah.
But this dude's walking around the port, just like filming literally everything.
Uh-huh.
Like not looking at what he's filming. He's just walking around with his phone.
Filming a whole bit, yeah.
Like, are you really going to scroll through that hour-long video walking through a port?
Like, no, dude.
No.
Because now you've missed it while you actually did it.
Yeah, while you're running into people and being rude, stopping in weird places.
First time I went to Italy, this was before the iPhone. I went back home and I had like 2,600 pictures on my card. I was taking a picture of everything, this and that, and I was like, I'm really going to want to see that streetlight later, you know?
Yeah. You know what? That's a really, really, really cool fire hydrant.
Right. It's amazing. It's a Roman fire hydrant.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the good thing about like Instagram stories is like you can post something like that.
And
put it up and it's like, yeah, this fire hydrant's cool.
Yeah.
Post it.
Tomorrow's
and it's
gone. Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't have to keep the picture.
That's true, man.
Yeah.
So come on. What else you got? What other concert? You were leading somewhere. I'm sorry. We went on a little tangent. Yeah. Come on.
This one, I tell this story in my live show a lot. Not every time, but...
Of the 72, you'll do it 70.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's two shows in there.
That aren't going to get that story. Yeah. Sorry.
Watch, I don't tell the story at all this tour. People are like, what the fuck, man? Why are we the one?
Check out the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. It's a full circle thing. No, but it's... yeah, people think I make this story up and then it's not true, but I went to a Blink-182 concert. My first concert I went to by myself. And I like made my mom take me to the mall so I could buy like Volcom shorts and Vans and an Atticus t-shirt. Like I wanted to look the part.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Full in.
Yeah, I tried to get her to let me pierce my lip. She still gets mad at me for that. I didn't pierce it.
She's aware of.
No, she would have known. It's like used to walk by me with magnets just to make sure none of my like
nothing's pierced.
Yeah. So I went with a friend and we get there. We're a little late because I thought it was cool. I regret that because I miss Newfound Glory.
Not cool, dude.
But we get there. I got two sodas because I was out on the town. You know what I mean?
And who's, I'm not going back there. I'm here for the show,
early.
Bro.
Yeah.
Got two hands.
Yeah, exactly. So I went down and I thought I had bought like bad seats because I use my allowance money.
Yeah.
My parents
upgraded,
stole my tickets and gave me like front row. So we're like walking and we just like keep getting lower and lower and lower and lower. Yeah. Just like it starts smelling like worse and worse decisions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so we get down there, we're the front row behind the pit. It's amazing. Like it's like the coolest environment I had ever been in.
Uh-huh.
My friend and I are just like grinning ear to ear, but trying not to, cause you know, cool people don't smile.
Obviously.
That's what we thought. And so we get down there and they're like pumping the smoke in the room. And there's this big black curtain. And I'm just like, I can't take my eyes off the curtain because I don't want to miss a moment of Blink 182. And the curtain drops and they start playing Anthem Part 2. And right as they start the song, this big flaming fuck sign lights up at the back of the stage. And I'm just like,
the greatest day of my life.
Literally, it was the greatest day of my life. I say at the show, I'm like, that's the day that I realized fuck was my favorite word. But it really is.
Yeah.
Because it was just like the coolest thing that I could have ever imagined being on stage. And that was at the time the best 2.5 hours of my life.
Sure, dude. Because you're there by yourself.
And they're hilarious. Uh-huh. And I'm like right in the middle of it. So everybody's having fun. Rocking. Everybody's jumping up and down. Everybody's singing every word. Like Blink 182 is cool to every person in that room.
Uh-huh.
It's just like, it's just fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it still is like the definition of fun.
Yeah.
Is like being in the moment in a concert in the middle of it.
Sure.
Your favorite band knowing every word.
And then you're sharing it with other people who's their favorite band. It's like the energy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And you're all looking around like you talk to people that you uh-huh. wouldn't talk to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't talk to anybody except for a concert, right?
And it's just like you feel totally comfortable acting like a complete idiot.
Yeah.
And that was like the coolest feeling.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like that's why I'm always like so stoked if I ask if it's anybody's first concert that I'm like the first person they're seeing.
Because you know they're going to have this conversation. Yeah.
And like
later
I'm the first on this tour. So the Jonas Brothers is going to be some people's first concert ever. And I get to be the first person they see. Fire. You know what I mean? Like that's just, and I don't know.
It's a big deal.
There's something like special.
Not special because you know how special it was to you. You're telling it right now. I mean,
yeah. It literally every time I hear that song, it has a little bit of that impact.
Uh-huh.
Like it's just like that overwhelming excitement that just happens when you hear something, you know?
Yeah.
And then it was 2001.
All right.
The first page of a book never tells the full story. And those news alerts and headlines, like the ones we get on our phones, don't even scratch the surface of what the story is really all about. Stories are like people, multi-layered and complex. It takes some digging to find the truth, but when we find it, it can change our world. We like to dig. The news on Merritt Street. Essential television.
Yeah, so flash forward like 6 months after that or whatever, and I moved to LA. I moved to California.
Uh-huh.
And I move in the middle of summer, so I have no friends. I'm like, I'm stoked. I'm so excited to move.
But you touched down. You're not in school is the point.
Yeah, so exactly. So I had no friends. I had nothing to do. So I sat up in my room, and I just listened to Blink 182 all the time. And I thought I wanted to be a bass player.
Uh-huh.
And I was talking to my friend, James Raharja, if you're listening.
What's up, James?
But he played the bass, and so I was just kind of like, I texted him. I'm like, I saved my money up.
Uh-huh.
My dad's going to take me to Guitar Center. I want to learn bass. He was like, no, you don't.
Take it from a bass player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, you're not like swimming in friends right now.
And bass not going to do it for you?
Playing bass by yourself in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best thing to do.
Yeah.
A bass player sitting right over there. Do you have anything to say about that? It's true.
That's what I did. I just sat in my room. Dang.
Would you tell somebody that had no friends to pick bass, though?
Don't do that.
Don't do that, you said.
Horrible idea.
I love bass now. Like, man, is my face red. no, but, so he's like, don't do that. You're not swimming in friends.
Right.
You're not like, you're going to quit, is basically what he said. He's like, I know you. You don't have the attention span for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, listen to a few more songs. And he was like, listen to a few more Blink songs and like, tell me your favorite parts of the song. And so I went back with that in mind. And cause I only wanted to play bass cause I liked Mark Hoppus the best.
Uh-huh.
And, so I went back and listened, and I listened to Stay Together for the Kids.
Yeah.
And that was like the one song that I was like, okay, I'm going to learn this song. Like, this is going to be the first thing that I learn, which is, there aren't very many hard Blink songs, but that was like one of the harder ones. So I went downstairs, told my dad, new plan, going to get a guitar. He rolled his eyes like, well, goddamn, that mean you're going to quit? We buy this guitar, you going to quit that quick? whatever. So we went and bought the Tom DeLonge edition Strat. I came home and I locked myself in my room.
Rocked out.
Until I learned every Blink-182 song.
Nice.
Yeah.
Parents loved it, I'm sure.
Oh, they hate it so much. Because I bought a big amp, too.
You're rocking, dude.
Yeah, I bought the guitar and I didn't have any money for an amp. And my dad's like, well, you can't be playing without an amp. And the salesman was like, no, dude, just let him take it. And my dad bought me an amp. And he was like, shit.
Should listen to that guy.
Yeah, damn it.
But that's a father and son moment because he wants you to have some fun.
Well, it turns out, like in hindsight, he used to sit outside of my room.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to me play guitar. And when I got a little better, he was like, you should get a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
When I got a teacher, he's like, okay, you should
do this.
And you'd like find a cool way to mention it. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like I had some friends that we like kind of started a shitty band. And uh-huh. once we could like at least make it all the way through a song, he came in and he was like, hey, there's a place down the street called the Roxy. You know, I think we can get you in.
If you want to give it a shot.
Anybody can play the Roxy.
Right,
it's pay to play. Whatever, but. So he was like, he was supportive. He used to give me shit for being terrible for a while, but
I mean,
that's what he does. Yeah, my brother used to call me name that tune because I could only play 10 seconds of any song.
But, that was your attention span or that was just,
as soon as I learned like the main part, I'd be like, all right, I'm out.
Done.
Yeah. Next one. Jack and Diane. Cool. Got the intro. Out. Done. Damn it. Got it.
You notice that too. You always yell at me, and every time I'm playing a song, you're like, "Can you play the whole song, please?" I always quit after like 20 seconds.
But
so now you can't get mad at me anymore.
All I wanted to learn were the cool parts.
Yeah,
I didn't understand like a verse.
Yeah, no,
I didn't know what that meant.
No, I'm just I got to get in there, and get excited. Get in, next.
Everybody like, you're at a party. People like the song. You play the cool part. That's it, right?
Exactly. Nope. Move on.
Everybody's like, "Wait,
what are you doing?
You're not gonna play the verse to crash into me?"
Well, there's a verse in this.
Yeah,
song?
There's a verse. But so once I got a teacher, it was actually my brother was like, can you teach him to play a whole song?
Right. Like, I will pay to hear a whole song.
He's like, literally, you don't understand. So he taught me the most repetitive song.
Which one?
Play that funky music.
All right.
Yeah. But he did it. And then my parents were having like a Christmas party coming up and there was like a live band. And nobody told me before, so I couldn't say no.
Right.
But he taught me play that funky music all the way through.
And then
when we were at the party, he's like, all right, you're playing tonight. I'm like, what?
No, I'm not.
Yeah. And he only taught me one part.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like midway through the song, and Oprah was there for my first performance
right,
ever.
Right, yeah.
And so everybody,
decent crowd,
she's
decent
like
crowd.
Right in front of me right. clapping, you know what I mean?
Loving it.
Yeah. And then somebody in the band is like, tells me to take a solo.
You're like, I know, guys.
I literally like froze and I just kept playing. Bum, 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 bum,
but you're playing it by yourself. It's technically a solo.
Kind of. My guitar teacher was turning around all the band members going, no, no, he can't.
Incredible.
Yeah. And then he just like ripped a solo and got me off the hook.
Nice. Good. Yeah. Good save. Good save.
But I was like, shit, I got to learn how to play solos. So Play That Funky Music was the first song I ever played live.
That's fire, man.
Yeah. I killed it.
Yeah,
I was so bad. Play the wrong part and the wrong part. Again, I didn't know what a fucking verse was.
But
bridge,
you played it.
Huh?
Yeah, you got out there and you played
it. Wait, you guys played it the same tempo the whole time?
Like, what?
Yeah. I've been practicing this just kind of like, you know, all over the place. But I made my way through it.
Yeah, you got done.
Yeah, I felt like Tina Turner.
You're like, what was King? Don't let me down.
Walked around the house with my legs out for exactly. the next 2 weeks.
Your mom's like, give me my heels back. What are you doing?
Did you shave your legs or?
Horrible, horrible, man. Moving on.
I was 15. Do you have leg hair at 15?
I think, I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
You're blonde. Probably couldn't see.
Hair. Yeah.
All right, man.
Yeah. So that was the first song I played live. And then my next song too is it's about a live performance.
Okay.
So I have my mentor,
huh?
Is David Foster. Not a bad mentor to have when it comes to songwriting and playing music.
Let's call him top 10, you know, just, you know.
Yeah, he wrote the Karate Kid song.
No big deal. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Most of the songs you heard in the 80s were
this is the best Chicago songs.
Yeah, exactly.
Peter Cetera, all that. Celine Dion.
Uh-huh.
Produced Whitney Houston.
Yeah, like it's nonstop,
like,
man.
Everything.
They
Earth,
know.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
They
he
know,
produced
dude.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yeah. Like,
he plays every instrument.
So I always had him giving me advice, and he's like, he's super blunt and like
rough.
We'll just put you on the spot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember we were at a restaurant one time, and they had a piano. He's at the Polo Lounge.
Uh-huh.
And we're walking out, and this guy stops him, and he's like, oh, my God. "You're David Foster." And he's like, "Yes, I know.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I have been my whole life."
Yeah. Yeah. He goes, "You are like my hero, my idol. I've modeled my entire songwriting career after you." And he's like, "Career, great. What are you? He's like, "Well, I haven't sold a song, right. but I write, and I told myself if I'm ever in the same room with you, I would make sure that you heard my song."
Uh-huh.
And he's like, "Great, let's do it." And the guy's like, "Really?"
Yeah.
He goes, "Yeah, sit down at the piano and play it." And the guy's like, "No, I mean, I have a CD in my car." And he goes, no, "You play piano?" He's like, "Yeah, let's sit down and
there's
play
a piano.
It.
That's a piano."
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And the guy was like, "Okay, well, let me just go." And he goes, "Yeah, that was your chance." And just walked out.
Really?
Yeah. And so it was like, I took that to heart because I was like, if he ever asked me to do anything, just
do it.
Do
it right
you
now.
Just got to do it.
Can't even think
like,
about
just
it.
Just go for it.
Yeah.
And so fast forward, this is my next song, is we're at a party and Lionel Richie's playing and he's playing keyboard. They're playing piano with Lionel Richie.
David is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like 3/4 of the way through the show, Lionel's like introducing the next song and David's like, "Hey, Lionel. And I'm just like, I had a gut feeling. I was like, no.
No warning, though.
Don't do it.
But you had that feeling.
Don't do it.
It's like, that's long and over to you, and it's his Saturday.
And he like looks over at me and keeps talking. He like kind of laughs, and he points at me, and he comes back, and he goes, "David Foster tells me, Jordan McGraw, you play guitar." And I'm like, "Yeah, no." Yeah, and he goes, "Well, why don't you hop on up here? We got an extra guitar." And they like walk out with a guitar. It was all planned.
Right. David had the guitar waiting.
Yeah, and he's like, "We're going to play All Night Long." He's like, "You know that song, right?" And I was like, I know the song.
Right.
And he goes, "Cool, let's hit it." And I'm like, oh, shit. No idea how to play it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Dude.
So I'm standing up there. I'm like white as a ghost.
Yeah.
I'm 21.
With legends, though. There's legends.
It's the first time I've been drunk in front of my parents. I'm 21
that
years old.
That they're aware of, right?
Yeah, that they knew of. And so I'm like, oh, no. What do I do? And thank God the bass player leans forward and he's just like, starts whispering the chords into my ear.
Really?
And so I'm just like leaning back. Everybody listening. Thought I was like posing cool.
Yeah.
I'm just like leaning back and he's
listening.
Like, C sharp, A, C sharp.
Fire, man.
F sharp.
He helped you out.
And I like stumbled my way through it.
Nice.
And then David's like, he mouths, "You're going to solo." And I'm like,
back to
please
the solo,
no,
like
please no, I know.
Do you remember that the was day, over like, there too?
No, thank God. But I was like, oh no, don't know. And he like saw in my, he like saw the real terror in my face. And then at the end of the song, he walks over and he gives me a big hug, like he's congratulating me. But he leans into my ear and he goes, "Learn to fucking solo."
Hey, you gotta crush those solos,
yeah,
man.
I know,
that's an incredible story, dude.
Yeah, but that's still one of the coolest moments of my life.
I mean, come on,
Lionel Richie calling me out.
That was one of the coolest stories of my life, man.
It was so much like, it was so nerve-wracking. I like don't remember any of it really, but
yeah,
it was like
the gist of it,
I had to play all night long with Lionel Richie. Like that's crazy.
With David Foster playing the piano.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't care about that because I knew him as just like,
yeah, it's just,
you know,
David.
Hey, yeah. You know?
Uncle David.
Yeah. I have more of an appreciation for it now.
Well, yeah.
He's like, the more I got into music, I realized how much
the power
of, like,
of what he's done.
Music god he is.
Yeah, he's an animal.
It's crazy. He sat down and just like played a piece of all of the biggest songs he wrote one time at a party. And it's just like,
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like one after another, after another, after another, after another. It's crazy.
Yeah, dude.
It's fire. Nuts. Yeah.
Unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
So all right. So now we're talking. You're 21 now at this point. Are we jumping around in age or are we going by? What are
no,
we doing?
This is pretty chronological.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So where are we going now, man?
I'm 21 and I'm like, I'd been in a band this whole time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I kind of start taking it more serious.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I start like really practicing and not just practicing like playing music with people, but practicing like putting together shows and
right,
like
the whole,
the idea of a cool set list and like
the experience for the
emotional
crowd.
Roller coaster of a set, you know? And so I'm like, I think, it's like around the same time. Cause that kind of lit a fire under my ass. Cause he was like, "You need to learn how to play your instrument better."
Right.
It's like, if you want to be a guitar player,
listen
you
to me. I'm the person.
Yeah,
you know,
he's like, "You got to really do this. Like,
yeah,
you can't
you
just half-ass it."
Right.
Which is true. Like, that's the advice. If anybody ever asked me, like, how do I
do this?
How do I become a better musician? Like, how do I get my band? It's It's like play shows and practice.
A constant.
Yeah. That's what Dave Grohl says. I'm totally stealing it from him. Uh-huh. But like, he's like, that's the only advice you can give somebody.
Just keep going.
Play shows and practice.
Right. Yeah.
Because you got to play shows because you got to see how you handle when things go wrong. Sure. When things go right, when they're too exciting, when you play too fast, when you slow down. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like figuring out how to work with a crowd, how to talk to a crowd.
Feel
like,
the
energy. You got to make an ass of yourself like 1,000 times before you can really consider yourself good at being on stage.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's all making an ass of yourself. Like you're sacrificing your shyness or your like insecurities.
Yeah, yeah. Your safety
net. So that
other
people can like kind of let go of theirs.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. You're letting them in on yours. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I can't dance. Like I'm a terrible dancer. Uh-huh. But I dance my ass off on stage regardless of what I look like doing it just because I figure if I can get up there and dance in front of all these people, then the guy in the front row can let loose and have a good time.
Like, that makes complete sense.
You know, and like be in that moment and have fun and be at a concert.
Yeah, let your inhibition down.
Be with your friends and like, because that's where stories from concerts come from.
Right.
It's like not
that
really.
That time.
Yeah, it's not, it's the mess ups and the amount of like silly you let yourself become.
Yeah, exactly.
At a concert. Like,
as the artist and as attending
like,
it. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're watching and like somebody sings the wrong line and you picked up on it or like, you know, you heard the guitar player kind of mess up and saw him laugh or, you know, you ever see like band members talk to each other and you're like, what are they saying?
Right.
It's usually something stupid.
Right. Yeah.
But it's like, you know, like it's those little moments mixed with how like loose you let yourself get.
Yeah, it's true.
You know? Because like if you just kind of lose yourself and just like dance and have fun, like that's where stories come from.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You know?
I definitely agree. I've been there. Yeah. I definitely been there. I definitely feel like I could dance when I'm at a concert. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, dude, I'm killing it right now.
Yeah.
You know?
No story started with, so I had my arms crossed.
Right.
And I was getting a great angle of the stage with my iPhone.
Right. No.
And then, no,
yeah,
it's like.
Yeah, no. Yeah, remember that time when I fell off the chair because I was going.
It's like, if you haven't listened to the trailer for our show, it's like one of my biggest concert moments was I was watching Newfound Glory play My Friends Over You. It's the first time I crowd surfed. I go up. I think somebody's stealing my shoes, so I'm pulling back. And when I get to the front of the gate, I look down. My shoelace got caught on a kid's lip ring, and I ripped it clean out of his face.
I can't get over that.
That is not as happy of a memory for him as it is for me, I guarantee it. But like, that's one of my best concert memories. I sound like such
an
asshole.
You're a real asshole, dude. You maimed that kid.
Yeah, and that's when I started liking horror movies.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It was the blood.
But that's just like one of those things that...
Yeah.
Like, what are the odds of that?
Yeah,
and only me and that kid have that story to tell.
It's true, man. This asshole caught his shoe on my lip.
That guy doesn't go to concerts anymore.
Dang, he hasn't left his house since, bro. You're a jerk. Sorry, kid.
Yeah, sorry. I wish I could find that kid.
If you're out there, kid, let us know. Yeah. Send us a message,
man. I'm just going to tell that story as much as possible. Well, no, because then people are just going to, hey, I was that kid.
Yeah, I was that kid.
Yeah.
Like you're 72 years old, sir. You can't be that kid.
Well, maybe. I don't know. It aged him.
Dang, man.
Yeah. But
fire, man.
Yeah. So after that, let's see, where was I? Oh yeah. So at that point, I started after the Lionel Richie. I wouldn't call it a fiasco. I made it through the song.
You made it through.
Yeah.
You learned something from it.
Yeah. So I started taking it real serious. And then David actually introduced me to this guy who wound up being a huge part of my music career, Craig Aronson.
Mm-hmm.
He's since passed away, but he signed bands like The Used, My Chemical Romance, Jimmy Eat World, you know, like Avenged Sevenfold. Like, he's responsible for all those bands getting their shot.
Uh-huh.
And David introduced me to him, and he just believed in me.
Mm-hmm.
And so he, you know, kind of like put us through the ringer at the time and like making us write better songs and like better, more extreme. Go for it. Go for it. Go for it. All this stuff. And then at the end of it, he has just kind of this boot camp that he created for us. Like, I think he was just kind of making it up as he went along.
Yeah.
But you know, we came out of this like 2 weeks of just like writing and rehearsing and playing and performing. And he's like, I didn't want to tell you guys this when we started, but, I've got you a tour. And I was like, oh, what could it be? You know what I mean? It was like
it was like my favorite band at the time. Uh-huh. He had us opening for The Used.
Sick.
Yeah. And so I just like, I still am like beside myself.
And that, this is how far after, like chronologically from that night, from the Lionel night.
I'm probably like 25 at this point.
Okay. So you got a few years. You've been working hard for
And I'm old enough that I shouldn't get starstruck.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, oh my God.
Is there such a thing?
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm going to meet Bert.
Right.
You know what I mean? So my last song, I'll call it my last song.
Mm-hmm.
I may have another, but it was Taste of Ink by The Used.
Okay.
Because that was the first time that, so we pull up to the first show of the tour. We get out and I just kind of like walk in the venue to look around and they're sound checking and they're playing Taste of Ink, which is like my favorite Used song at the time. And so Bert like kind of looks at me and just like waves and I'm just like, I just freeze. I'm like, you're not waving.
Yeah. Like, you know, somebody behind me, right? Yeah.
Huh? And then, so I run back to the bus and I tell everybody, like, you guys got to come in here. You got to come in here. And I run back inside and A, they're done.
Yeah.
And B, nobody's behind me. Like, nobody came with me. I was like, what?
You ruined the moment for nobody.
Yeah. And so I walk back and like they're off the stage or whatever. And I walk back and I'm going back to our bus and I pass Bert, on the singer that used on the way from our bus. And he just like, he's like, hey man, you play guitar, right? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, cool. Thanks for being on our tour. It's like an honor to have you. And all that. And he like shoots the shit with me for like 5 minutes.
Sick.
And the reason it was so important and that song like will always stick out in this memory for me is that it was the first time in my music career that somebody that I like really, really looked up to considered me a peer.
Sick. That's a great feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that to me was like the first, like, not like the first type of validation for all my hard work, but it was the first, like, it was just the first, like, I felt like I was in a club now.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And I felt like, oh shit, I'm doing something that they've done. They're like, they appreciate.
It was that like, moment that you felt like you like arrived to where what you've been working hard for. You felt it. Yeah.
I wasn't slanging tickets to my neighbors.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I was just like, it was just that moment. It was just like, whoa.
You did it.
Yeah.
You're there.
Yeah. And we're still friends. Like it, which still blows my mind, you know, because I still have that. Every time I listen to those songs, it's like, I'm not listening to them. I'm listening to this band.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
for
just
sure.
Like I'm listening to.
Yeah, and it brings you back to that walking into soundcheck.
Yeah, exactly. Sick, it was the coolest thing ever.
Sick, man.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I could imagine that feeling must have been really cool, man.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of brings me to something that I wanted to talk to you about, well, say to you. You know, it's like I'm watching you, and I'm going to wrap it up, I promise. But, you know, I'm watching you now, and we're here at rehearsal for your band. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like you guys are about to go on this fucking, like, unbelievable world
adventure.
Tour. But it's like, for me,
the
something
adventure
that,
of all adventures.
Of all adventures. But something that's important to me that I wanted you to, and I wanted everybody to know, was, you know, somebody like you that I met, you know, somebody like you that still works very hard, that doesn't have to, means a lot to somebody like me. Because I don't have friends around me that are slackers, that are, you know. So to see you out here working hard, I just wanted to say that. I wanted to say in front of everybody that it means a lot to me to see you finally here doing what you want to do, because you don't have to be doing this.
Dude,
but you're
you.
Here because it's like, it's your passion
it's
and
music.
You're doing it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like music is so important to you, but the hard work and the ethic is, to me, what I respect more than your talent as a music. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, so I just wanted to tell you that, you know, while we're here, and I, you know, we could wrap it up on that, but I just, you know, I wanted to say that and give you a fucking hug, man.
Thanks,
proud of you,
dude.
Man.
I appreciate
love,
that.
Love, my brother, love, man.
Work hard, practice.
That's it, man. Catch him on tour, 70-something, 155 cities.
Everywhere.
You know, he'll be FaceTiming me. I'll be at home watching. All right, y'all. See you.